Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore. I got to get some water in here to start the program.
Let's go.
We are kicking off the Crab Cake Tour in Anne Arundel County today. And I got to be honest, Don, when I knew we wanted to come to GNM, but I really thought we'd be bringing Johnny O here because I thought it was on the fringe edges of your former county.
No, it is on the fringe edges. It's just on the fringe
edges. It's just in Anne Arundel County.
Right.
So then when I found out, I mean, all along it was my goal to bring county executives together, and when I found out that GNM was in Anne Arundel County, I said, this is going to be the place that we bring Anne Arundel County Executive Stuart Pittman out. So it's a pleasure to have you out here. I don't know if you've had the crab cake here, but today's going to be a very, very good day in Anne Arundel County for you.
I'm feeling pretty hungry.
Well, you're in the right place.
It is safe to say, Mr. County Executive, that when Nestor started talking about the Crab Cake Tour and he put out all over social media, where should I go, all around the state, I would say that consistently there was never a thread, Nestor, that didn't say G&M. I mean, we've had all kinds of recommendations, but I mean, G&M was like, go to G&M.
Well, the amazing thing is in Anne Arundel County, now that I'm doing this tour, and I'm going from Ocean City out to Deep Creek Lake, doing things I've never done, going to places I've never been, I've never been to Riva or Deal or like these other, and they're still a part of your world, right?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, you got a lot of waterfront down there that I got to find crab cakes, you know? So that this is my mission, and I figured I'd just start here because this is the famous place. And I hear they're pretty good, from what I understand.
They're good. You start at the top and work yourself down the 530 miles of coast that we have. You'll find a lot of crab cakes.
See, if he finds out we went to Harford County last week, we didn't start here.
He said that because he knows Baltimore County has 200, and he likes to find an occasional thing where Anne Arundel can sort of top Baltimore County.
We're
the best place for all.
See, everybody knows I hang out with politicians. First off, Don's not a politician to me. He was my high school guidance counselor.
Right.
So it's very, very different. But I know his talking points. It's like hanging out with Billick. I know all the stories. How about this? Larger than four states, Baltimore County.
See, Would you like to know what they are?
Yes, Rhode Island,
Wyoming,
North Dakota, and South Dakota.
Wyoming.
Yes.
Vermont. Alaska.
Not North Dakota and South Dakota.
And North Dakota.
But not Rhode Island.
Gaining on them quick.
How many citizens in Anne Arundel County?
580,000. It's the exact same population as the state of Wyoming, and they have two senators, and we have none. So we're working on that.
Well, that speaks to the United States Senate, doesn't it?
Move to Washington, D.C., we get nothing at all, right?
right?
Taxation
right.
You're we get.
Right, yeah.
Welcome out. It's good to have you out. I mean, this is it's hot out. It's middle of summer. But everyone I've talked to, it's post-pandemic. I mean, Don and I have been talking about, is it over? Well, we feel like it's over if we've got our shots. But I still think there's still a lot going on here that we need to be careful about, especially if we're running things in your position, right?
If you're not vaccinated, you need to be really damn careful, right?
Right.
So that's
how's Anne Arundel County done on that front?
We're doing great. We're a little bit ahead of the rest of the state, but not as far as we'd like to be. And, you know, there's going to be a fall surge. It's going to be the Delta variant. There's going to be a fall surge, but it's going to be unvaccinated people. And so we want to minimize that.
What are you doing? I mean, Nestor and I have talked a lot with a lot of people recently about this. Obviously, talked with friends, family, as I'm sure you are. I have family members still, cousins and what have you, who, for a variety of reasons, are not vaccinated. I have not been able to find the magic bullet, so to speak, to be able to share any kind of wisdom with them that makes them say, you know what, that makes sense. What are you trying to do to break through that last group in Anne Arundel County that you said does put people at risk, particularly, I think, school children, right, county executive, as they go back in the fall?
What's your percentage right now? I'm sure you're running every day, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're above 70. You know, for the 65 and older, we're up in the 90s. For the 12 to 18 age range, we're just above 50. That's a group that we really want to get back, you know, before school. But everybody's got a different reason. So
right.
So there are different groups with different reasons, and our health department is constantly trying to keep up with what those are, and we're working to get into every community that we can and putting a lot of effort into marketing. I think that when we get beyond you know, just the emergency authorization to the regular permanent authorization of the vaccines, that will help some. And then you'll start to see some required vaccination places. It may happen in the schools for all we know.
Well, that's what I was, and it seems to me that the schools may be waiting for what you just said, the permanent authorization. I think they feel school folks that I've spoken to seem to feel that that gives them more authority than the what the emergency authorization. So,
yeah, I got you. I got you.
No, I think it's a real challenge, and you know, my concern, and Anne Arundel County is we joked, but I mean it's a county where being outdoors, particularly, I mean it's a key part of when I think Anne Arundel County, mm-hmm. I think the bay, I think boats, I think jet skis, I think waterfront restaurants, all of that, and we don't. I mean, you guys have lived through this. You don't want to go back, and. Oh, have this thing rage again and
nobody wants to go back. And that's what one of the things we have to convince people is if, you know, we really don't want to go back. So come on, just do the one thing that you can do. Sometimes it takes collective action to solve a problem. And this is one of them. And so even if you're a little nervous about it, do it for your family, do it for your community, do it for the county and the country. It's you know, we've been attacked by our virus and we all got to stand up for where we live and what we believe in. And we gotta stop this virus by getting vaccinated.
Yeah, that's one thing I've said to all the leaders. It's been a hell of a time to be running government anywhere, right? Like, you know, Tom stepped aside right before the plague came along. We were with Barry Glassman last week in Harford County. We literally were with him the day that his phone was going off, that the first person in Harford County showed up at Upper Chesapeake with the coronavirus, I guess is what we were calling it then, right? It wasn't known as COVID even at that point. For you over this last year and a half, I mean, I look at it as a little bit of a modern miracle, despite the 75 million people that voted the other way, despite the whatever 20%, in some cases 60% in some of these states that aren't getting vaccinated, that this is kind of miraculous to be alive at this point and see the thing open up and having lived through what was a pretty dark period. I think every young person will look the rest of their life at it as something they'll never forget.
Yeah, and you know, there are people out there who think, look, it wasn't as bad as we thought because it's all over, but it's all over because of science, because of the vaccine. But we lost a lot of people. We lost 600 in our county. The country lost equivalent to the population of our county. More than, you know, we're 580,000. Country lost 600,000 people. And we would not have lost them had things been done differently.
Oh.
If we had really been prepared, every life that we saved through the restrictions, as much as we hated to put them in place, as much as the governor hated to put them in place, this restaurant, you know, was probably on its knees at that point and is coming back. Nobody wanted to do that, but we saved some lives doing that.
We had you on in that sort of tender period where, you know, there was certainly blowback. Probably about a year ago where businesses didn't know where to turn. The PPP, I'm a small business. I think there were a lot of unanswered questions, as well as the what is this virus and how do we get through this. For you, and probably the most difficult decision you make is shutting down industry, right?
Oh,
I mean,
absolutely.
I'm in the city where it still feels like I was wearing a mask a couple of weeks ago. I mean, this feels cool that I was in a thing with Springsteen last week, and it feels normal all of a sudden. But that was a long time with no normal.
Yeah. And you know, but it was good. It really tested government. And I think for a lot of people, it built some trust in government. Not everybody, but government stepped up. The federal government. I mean, I can never thank them enough for the CARES Act, that $100 million we got. And now we have the ARPA money that's going to help us build out of this. And when I look around local government, the work that got done, the cream rose to the top. The best people did the best. You know, they set aside everything they were doing. Their job descriptions changed. It didn't matter if they were working at home with kids there that weren't in school, whatever it was. They got stuff done. We cut through red tape that had been there for a long time to do things like allow restaurants out into their parking lots with outdoor seating that were, you know, illegal. We had to change, you know, we had to use emergency authorization. We're continuing that. We had to figure out how to do that. But we were constantly had the Office of Law and all the different departments working together to solve problems. And it was a good exercise for local government, for all government.
Well, for small business, too. Everyone had to adjust, and pivot being the key word, right? Everybody had to do something differently, you know, that was never asked of them before, and something that probably scared the hell out of them.
Well, go ahead. And they were in a worse position because it was totally outside of their control. If I had still been running my business, I probably would have been mad as hell about people telling me what I could and couldn't do. I couldn't make money as I, you know, laying people off. It was really difficult time to be a small business, especially in entertainment restaurants. And I don't have any animosity towards the people that attacked me personally for the restrictions, because I might have done the same thing if I had been in that position.
Sure. If that's your life savings, or your mom passed it down or your dad passed it down, as you used the term just a few minutes ago, this restaurant was probably on its knees like so many. And then you bounce back, and you alluded to something. We saw it at Barrett's up on the Pike in Harford County. We've seen it in Anne Arundel. I see it all over Baltimore County, and you see it all throughout the city, Nestor. And that is this effort on the part of all executives to work with their legislative bodies and their regulatory groups to allow restaurants to move outside.
In New York City, it's everywhere. I was up there last week. It's incredible how every business did this.
And it looks to me, this is the challenge that I think,
it's going to be Paris.
Well, I think it always falls back on the execs. It truly is the Harry Truman thing that the buck stops there. I can tell you that a number of the restaurants that I frequent in the Catonsville area, people love what's happened with the move outside. And they don't want these emergency authorizations, to expire, and they want them to be extended and made permanent. Are you getting that similar kind of pressure in Anne Arundel now that you've seen the success of this outside dining?
Yeah, it was kind of interesting that there was one member of our county council that I think five times tried to take away all the emergency authorizations from the government, and of course he failed with every vote, and we kept saying, well, because there's some good stuff that comes with that. And the last one was the authorization to be able to have restaurants use parking spaces, because we require a certain amount of parking, for an establishment. You're taking away some of those spaces. So you got to change a lot of laws to make it permanent. What we did was we extended it out through November so that we could at least get to there. And then I think we are going to have some tough conversations about what should be allowed and where.
Right. I mean, it seems to me it's been so successful, and all of you who try to make these tough decisions, you want to support business. When you have something that feels universally successful, it seems to me that's where people need to come together and try to figure it out. You mentioned the CARES money. County Executive Glassman was very appreciative in our discussions with him last week of the Democratic executives, and particularly those of you from the larger counties, who he said stood up and fought for the CARES money to be distributed even to the smaller counties, that everybody had a need. Can you put a concrete face on that for folks, where you can tell them, hey, if you ever wonder whether a federal response mattered, here's what we were able to do in Anne Arundel County because of CARES dollars. What example would you give people?
We fed people. We had a food distribution system for those people. And when you think about who got hurt economically by the restrictions, it was the bottom quarter of wage earners. There's all kinds of data on this. They were the ones that got hurt. And anybody who went and helped at a food distribution site saw lines of cars backed up for hours. It was shocking to see the level of poverty in our county, which is considered a fairly wealthy county. But we knew that we had about a third of our population that was paycheck to paycheck. You lose a couple paychecks and you've got a serious problem. And so between eviction prevention and keeping a roof over people's head and feeding people, those were two of our biggest expenses, our most important initiatives. And just that, even if you care about nothing else, that was absolutely worthwhile. But a lot of the money also went to support local businesses and nonprofits that were in serious trouble, and we're gonna collapse without it. So it held us together. It was like Band-Aids, and I think most people look at that, and I think even for the average voter, it was a wake-up call that, government can help solve problems. And in fact, it's not everybody's fault that they're poor. It used to be you had to say, if you were going to help poor people and fight poverty, you had to say it was for the middle class, because politically you couldn't say you were doing that. Well, I think now people see that, no, we can't leave anybody behind. We gotta help the most vulnerable folks and bring everybody up when the boats rise. Let's bring them all up.
That's certainly not something every politician believes. in regard to that, and I think whatever problems your county or any of the county had 18 months ago, everything immediately changes when. And I think Don and I, one of our first segments we did with one of your partners was, the food lines. I mean, before we even began, my dad would always tell me about 1929 and soup mm-hmm. lines. My dad was born in 1919. Seeing that here and elsewhere and on TV, people lining up at outside football stadiums to get food, and how quickly that had to happen in government, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't just government. It was churches and nonprofits and all kinds of volunteers. And we were lucky that we had smart people, especially in our health and human service agencies, that could put that together.
Well, supermarkets had trouble getting food to some degree.
Yeah, there was a while there where you couldn't. Yeah,
that
you
was
couldn't
a remarkable.
Chicken, you couldn't.
That
get
was
meat.
A remarkable yeah. experience. Yeah. Right? My wife would have a list or something.
I'm like, am I in Czechoslovakia?
She wasn't
where are we here?
Going out at that point because
and
of
my,
her.
Neither was my wife. I went home and said, "Honey, there's no meat."
I'd be in a supermarket. I'd be calling and saying, "What can I substitute for whatever that item was
tofu.
That you wanted?" Because these shelves are pretty. Pretty empty.
And the stuff that people went on a run for, there was no yeah. flour.
Total
there was
paper.
No there was no cooking red wine.
Yeah,
and everybody was cooking.
Was
and
drink, it everybody
would,
was drinking.
It would vary. It would vary from week to week. That was the other thing. You know, one week it was toilet paper.
I got
one
toilet
week
paper early
else.
On. And I knew that was
like
the first
you said,
thing.
One week it was salt. It was flour. It was just weird things yeah. in the supply chain.
Well, we're not going to run out of crab cake here.
We're not going to run out of crab cake. That's going to be coming up in segment three. Before we take a break, we asked County Executive Glassman this. I want to have you weigh in as well. We'll be asking Johnny when he joins us in a week or so. Looking back on the first, on the past 18 months, what have you learned as a leader that maybe you didn't know 18 months ago? What's your, when you sit down and write the gospel according to Stuart Pittman, what do you write in this chapter?
Well, it's a new gig for you too, right?
Right.
I mean, it was a new gig.
Well, this was a new gig for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a couple things. One is, stick with what you believe in. And we got a lot of pushback. You know, sometimes it was, you know, parents of kids who couldn't play football, or parents of kids who couldn't go to school, or restaurant owners, or whatever it was. And you know, it's possible as a leader to listen to those folks, hear them, not necessarily go with what, you know, but continue to communicate and to try to tone down the conflict. And I think at the local level, we did a pretty good job of that under difficult circumstances. You talked about Barry Glassman, and, you know, he's a Republican county executive. I'm a Democrat. Most of the Central Maryland are Democrat. We had weekly, we were more than weekly for a while, calls, including him. We were all on the same team, absolutely on the same team.
Well, the border doesn't stop when I drive from the city. I went from the city through the county to get to your county, and it took me 5 minutes.
Right.
The virus goes about that speed, too, literally, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and, you know, and the other was it really is how to make government work.
Right.
You know, we were under the gun to make some things happen, even though they weren't part of our agenda. They weren't, you know, we had to shift. And during that time, we had people who really were good at that, and they rose to the top. And I learned a lot about how to make the bureaucracy change. We had to do things that people told us were illegal, or couldn't be. We didn't break the law, but they weren't possible. But we had to do them anyway, so we made it
We've
happen.
Never
but
you done made, things that way.
Right.
Is that what you hear?
Yeah, absolutely.
Don
made,
hates that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, that's my least favorite.
Yeah, we get
tried
together with like
before.
The Martin O'Malley's and stuff, and you know, compare notes,
that
and
drove,
excuses.
That
and
drove
like all
Governor
that.
O'Malley to drink. Right now, we've done that. Martin would go right down the list. Right, check. Yeah, I know. And then we'll try it and see if we can't get it right. Seems to me that all of you, and all of you get credit for this, getting vaccine to people in a mass way without it being total pandemonium. I mean, it's remarkable. And each and every one of you seem to have found, you alluded to it, maybe you talk more about it, somebody on your staff, either in a health department or on your executive staff, who just said, I've got the logistics. I can make this happen. I mean, talk about that problem. All of a sudden, you've got 500,000 people in Anne Arundel County, and you said 70% of them vaccinated. So, you know, you've vaccinated hundreds of thousands of people. Talk about the early days of that and trying to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, well, early on, remember, we all had way more capacity than we had vaccines. So we had been planning for it, and we were ready. And then we were all hustling trying to get more vaccines.
Right.
But I was lucky in that I hired a health officer, Dr. Nilesh Kalyanaraman. He came out of Baltimore City. He used to do healthcare for the homeless in Baltimore City. And we really needed in our health department somebody to bring the team together. And he did that. And then what I think he found was that he had some real talent in that health department. He brought in some new people and he had some existing people on logistics. We then also found, for instance, that our fire chief and our fire department were pretty darn good at logistics.
Right.
So when we were allowed to take some vaccines to our schools and get our teachers vaccinated and we wanted to get it done quick, we turned that over to the fire department. They did it with the school system and boom, 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 boom. And then they worked with the state to set up the mass vaccination site and really ran it so that the health department could work on the community-based stuff.
You inherited a pretty good county. It sounds like things were built pretty good before you got there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I did hire the fire chief, and I did hire the helmet. But we have great local government. You know, we have great people who've been there for a long time.
How many people work in your government?
5,000.
5,000.
Yeah,
okay, so you changed a few people, but I would think
the teams
92% of the people that did the lifting.
Absolutely. Nestor, that's when I know
Executive Pittman would agree. I don't want to put words in his mouth. It's one of the things that I don't think, I shouldn't say it that way, I hope, let me put it positively, since it's Baltimore, I hope the public appreciates that the bulk of the 5,000 people who work for County Executive
that's
Pittman in Anne Arundel County. Teachers are set above
that. Not including teachers.
Okay.
Yeah. So his 5,000 general government employees, Baltimore County's 8,500 general government employees. These, for the most part, are dedicated people who just want to come in and make the county work, make the trains run on time. They're professionals. You know, they're not politicians. They're not. They're professionals, right? That's what I found in Baltimore County.
Absolutely, yeah. They just want government to work. And they're public servants, too.
A crisis happens, and everybody gets asked to do more and do more differently and from home and with screaming kids. And the kids can't go. Like, all of that went on. Stuart Pittman is here. He is the Anne Arundel County Executive. Don Moeller, former Baltimore County Executive. We're at GNM. We were here. Yeah, we got here around 2 o'clock, and it was booming, booming, booming. And I said to him, this is the time of the day where things are a little quiet. The evening rush is about
to come. One segment, Dan, that means we're only a segment away from crab cakes.
It's only 100 degrees. They got beer over there and crab cakes over there. And I got the weekend off, and it used to be a holiday. We'll be back. We're going to continue on talking about government, making things better. We are Baltimore Positive, WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore.